The Handless Maiden is a Grimm's fairy tale. And they say it wasn't the brothers Grimm's at all who wrote the story. It was the brothers who rode from village to village, listening at campfires, in kitchens, sewing circles even, to the women telling stories that had their wisdom of how to live in this complex human life with wisdom and compassion. And that the Brothers Grimm stories were actually women's stories. This perspective helps me immensely with this tragically beautiful story. There are other stories from other cultures that begin with a father betraying his daughter, equally tragic and violent. And what's important to note about this acute betrayal of the father is not only does he cut off his daughter's hands, but he was supposed to guide her in the way of the world, but instead sends her off into the world without hands, without hands to touch or hold or caress or even feed herself. Now, although he invites her to stay and to take care of her, it's impossible. For she herself knows, unconsciously, that it's not just about being in the outer world. It's the relationship of the inner world to the outer world that makes someone fully human. And so while the Handless Maiden leaves home and goes out into the outer world to find those folks who will give her the empathy and compassion that her family lacks, she's really going towards herself. It makes absolute sense that there is grief woven through this entire story. Not only the beginning, when the maiden is grieving, leaving her parents to be married off to a devilish wizard. Not only the grief of losing her hands, but the embedded grief and tears that brings one towards their very own soul, pulling them into the deeper depths of their being. Of course, in stories, there is always soul. But to access a deeper level of this reunion with outer and inner spirit and soul, grief is one of the ways that helps us get there. One perspective is to see that the father and the devil together are co-conspirators sending the girl towards greater insight by sending her out and rejecting her and letting her find herself on her own. She must face this unknown shadow, this inner wild feminine that isn't present in her home. There's no mention of her mother's grief, for example, or even her mother's rebellion against her father's decision. However, the maiden finds an inner strength to go searching alone in the shadowy dark of the forest, to be with her own rejected parts of herself and find a way to accept that she must find a way to feed herself. Like in many shamanic cultures, there is a tree at the center. And in this story, she finds her way to the royal fruiting trees, the symbol of life itself, of that which grows up towards the heavens and roots down to the earth. An immortal image. When this tree of life bows its branches, bringing supple fruit to the lips of the maiden, there's not a man in the kingdom who can explain what is happening. Not the gardener, not the priest, and not the king. It's an act of divinity. And this is a crucial moment for the handless maiden, where she connects with a benevolent force of nature that is outside of her family, church, and even an explanation. I love this mysterious, white, illuminated creature that helps her dry up the moat, who could be seen as a fortress of grief surrounding nourishment. If a land bridge hadn't been created so the maiden could get to the pears, her journey could have ended there. However, water, tears, and grief are paused for the moment. She is able to survive another day. I love that this story doesn't end with a traditional happily ever after, where her silver hands are made by her new king and something outside of her has made her whole again. That's not what this story is trying to show us. Instead, she goes through another transformation, another leaving home, another rite of passage. This time, when the messages are switched by the devilish wizard, and the wisdom of the old queen saves the maiden, she must go even deeper into the forest. But this time, she's a different woman. She's no longer a girl, she's a mother. She is a creatrix. She has made life from her own body. And this makes her second journey into the forest different. As she enters into the hut in the forest, it's as if she's entering another room in her psyche where she has hidden gifts and superpowers she didn't know existed until she was put to the test, until she had to grope and push and reach for a way to grow back her hands. This part of the story points us to the losses in life and the way we may lose or be dismembered in our bodies or our spirits, and the possibility of regeneration, of given enough time and support. And that's what she has out there in the forest. She has the elemental world holding her as she regenerates her hands from tiny baby nubs into a woman's hands that can hold and cook and sew and caress and reach. She grows beyond what she even knew she could and becomes unrecognizable to her beloved, who in his very own way had to grope his way for 7 years, fasting and wandering to find her. In the Grimm story, it's written that their child is named Painbringer. But in stories older than that, that go back to goddess traditions, it's written that their daughter is a girl, and her name is Joy, mirroring the innocence that was present in the handless maiden when she stood under the pink blossoming apple tree. Marriages in fairy tales can mean so many different things. There's two in this story. And the handless maiden is not the same woman in the first marriage as she is in the second. By the time she's married again, she has grown her own hands back. She has connected with the more than human world, the elemental magic of her own psyche and soul. And she is a mother who has cared for and raised her child alone. And she has walked herself back, carrying babe in arms, back to a kingdom that now includes an empowered queen. And this is important to note, that we may, through our lifetimes, have to join in union with different aspects of ourselves, inner and outer, along our journey. This may take the shape of multiple marriages to another. This may mean multiple commitments to ourself, to our art, to our commitment to feel, so that we can be in union with all the parts of ourselves, even the lonely, the lost, and the exiled. Bringing all of ourselves back to our home, and allowing ourselves to uncover our hidden gifts, our secret talents, our unfathomable compassion. In the end, The Handless Maiden is a story of initiation and transformation, and can be shared at rituals for young maidens coming into their first blood, before weddings, or even birthdays. Whenever you decide to return to this story for its wise counsel, remember, every character in the story is you.